about to call our, I am calling our, what is this, February 4th meeting of the Writers Advisory Council to order. We have an agenda here that I have notes all over that I'm pulling out right now. The first item on the agenda is a call to order. Okay, I did that. Now the roll call. Now, traditionally, in most of the meetings, we don't actually do a roll call, what we did last time, because we had so many people new to us as we went around the room and said a little bit, very little about ourselves. But there are a couple people who weren't here, so they still may not know anybody. So what I thought I'd do is just something a little different. We'll do it by jurisdiction. And you can help me in case I leave anybody out. But we have DC people. So, oh, if you're going to speak, please remember to hit the button on your mic so we can hear you. So if you're from DC, why don't you raise your hand? Okay, and then just go around and just say what your name is, and if you already know what committee you're on, that'd be, or if you're, yeah, anywhere, anything like that. You need to be on the mic for the recording.
Committees and names, Pablo Estefani, I'm in the Customer Service Committee. I don't know what else to add to that.
I'm Stephanie Beecham, and I'm on the Customer Service Subcommittee.
Benjamin Schell, doing at large on customer service.
Dan Turk. Hi, everybody. Sorry I missed the meeting last time. The PPP committee.
Anyone else from DC?
Ryan Nalty. I'm also on the PPP committee.
Okay. Thank you. And I can't remember. Avani? Which jurisdiction are you in? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we haven't done Virginia yet. okay. Those of you from Maryland, let's go alphabetical. Montgomery people. Raise your hand if you're Montgomery. And then tell us who you are. Go ahead.
I'm Bob Fogle, and I'm on the Customer Service Committee.
And I'm Mary Ann Zimmerman on the PPP committee.
Okay, thanks. All right, and then PG County. Go right ahead.
Deborah Christian on the Customer Service Committee.
Will White on the Customer Service Committee.
Okay, now that covered everybody in Maryland, right? Those two counties? Okay, good. All right, Virginia. We've got, let's see, what's alphabetical? Alexandria, Barbara Hermanson. Hi. Arlington, go tell us who you are.
I'm Deb McKenzie, and I actually am a member at large, but I do live in Arlington, Virginia, and I'm not on a committee yet.
And you weren't here last week, so welcome to you, and anyone gets a chance, please say hello and talk to her, as well as to Dan. And next.
Hi, I'm Avani Gala. I'm in Arlington, and I'm on the Budget and Planning Committee.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Budget and Finance.
Oh, yes.
You're going to skip me. I'm Lorraine Silva, and I'm from South Arlington County, and I am with the Customer Service Committee.
Okay. Fairfax County. Raise your hand if you're from Fairfax County. Oh, you're not raising your hand very high. I'm going to go last with you. Okay. Deb. Oh, you need a microphone.
Hello, my name is Deborah F. Titus. I've been sitting in REC since December 2010.
Thank you. And yes.
I am Jeremiah Bush, and I am on the Budget and Finance Committee.
Okay. And last but not least,
Fred Walker on the Budget and Finance Committee.
Okay. Did I leave anything out? Does everybody introduce themselves? And maybe we should introduce the two people over at that table, because I don't think I really did that last time very well. Who's over there? James.
Good Good evening, everyone. I'm Jennifer Ellison. I'm the board corporate secretary.
I'm sure you all know me, but if you don't, I'm James Jackson. I'm the RAC coordinator.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, now we're going to move on to the real serious business of the RAC. And as you may have noticed, we're not sitting in the formation we did last time. Someone had suggested we try to flip it a little bit because this makes viewing presentations a little easier for the people down here. So that used to be down there. But before we start the public comment, I just have something I need to say to all of us. We welcome any comments that members of the public have to share tonight. I need to make sure everyone is aware that if the RAC itself is not able to make any comments, public comments, on the incident from the 12th of January, did I get that right? Okay. Because it's under National Transportation Safety Board investigation, and there's a federal law that not only governs WMATA itself, the board, the staff, but also its advisory bodies, and the Writers Advisory Council is one of those bodies. We are not at liberty to discuss that incident during the course of the investigation. We can talk about things that we know from before then. We can talk about actions that are going on now. We cannot talk about the incident itself. It doesn't mean we don't want to hear the public comments, but we welcome them always. We just can't make comments if it's on that subject. So, are there people who have signed up for public comment?
Yes, one individual. Dia Martin.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks. My name is Dia Martin. I'm a private citizen of downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your time supporting our communities in the D.C. metropolitan area. I, myself, as a private citizen, was not aware of RAC until recently. I suffered a very unfortunate incident on the D.C. metro system at actually the Gallery Place metro stop. And I am sitting in front of you today imploring your assistance in helping me and any type of reference that you may have that I could use. I also just want to talk in general about public safety and cleanliness on the metro system. I think it's very important, and I think it's something that's sometimes ignored. On January 16th at 10:30 p.m., I was waiting for the train on the platform at Gallery Place. I was sitting on the bench with a friend, and all of a sudden I felt something at my leg. I jumped up, I thought it was a bug. It was not a bug, as the person next to me screamed, "Oh my God, I think it's that rat that I just saw crawling, coming up your leg." I actually panicked, I started screaming, I was running around. There was no one there to help me, not one employee. My friend told me, "Just drop your pants right now, I'll try and cover you." Of course, I don't want to end up on YouTube. So I just ran screaming. We finally saw a transit officer. He led me to a bathroom. I went in the bathroom. I dropped my pants. There was a dead rat sitting there. It was extremely disgusting. I was in shock. My friend was in shock. We were both screaming. Finally, someone pounded on the door and told us we had to get out of the bathroom. It was an employee with the customer. I told the employee what happened. I asked to talk to the police officer that let me in. The police officer was nowhere to be found. The employee laughed at me and told me, "Don't sit on the benches. That's common knowledge." I went home. I was obviously traumatized. I don't know if I'm over time. I was traumatized by what happened. The next day, I went to urgent care. The doctor said I was fine. I've had to go back to urgent care today, actually, and I'm currently on antibiotics. I went to file a claim that following day. when I filed the claim, I thought that the guy wasn't, he wasn't putting anything in the system. He just wrote it down, but he gave me a customer complaint form. I filled out that form, I turned it in, I called in, and I just wanted to be reimbursed for urgent care, the pants that I threw away, and the fact that I was so traumatized, I took a cab home. My friend loaned me her coat because it was long, and I didn't want to put the pants back on that the rat climbed up. I was told by the claims office that there's nothing they could do. It was not their problem. I should expect that there would be mice and rats on the metro system. I've currently been trying to call the office back, and I haven't got a response. The woman I talked to was Teresa Young. The head of risk management is Dave DeSoto, who I've called repeatedly. I'm in the process of writing a letter to the board, and I also will seek legal action. But if there's any way I can avoid that, if anyone in this organization could help me, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Sorry, I think you've already left your name with our...
Exactly.
Okay, so we can make sure somebody gets back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other customer public comments? I think just the one. Is there anyone else here that wants to make anybody from the public that does want to make a comment? Okay, then we'll move on. Move on to the agenda. Are there any changes anyone would like to make from the agenda? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. And second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? You'll abstain. We have one abstention. Okay. Thank you. Approval of past minutes, which are in the packet. Are there any corrections? Deb, you have a correction to the minutes? No, if you have a correction to the minutes, go ahead. Boy, and I missed that. I didn't read these. Okay, we'll take care of that. Top of page two. You're right. Anything else? That's plenty. Thank you. Any other corrections? Hearing none. All in favor of accepting the minutes as amended to correct it to the proper date, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, one abstention, Deb again, Deb McKenzie. We have three Deborahs. I don't know if you know that. Okay, committee reports. Oh boy, it's my turn. No, my chair's report is in your packet. That I do that because so many of you are new. We do that every month after this meeting and before the monthly board meeting, which is typically the fourth Thursday of the month. So that is in there. The other thing I wanted to do is, let me find my right pile here. This is bad. The next item on the agenda is the chair's report of the WMATA board committee meetings that were held on Thursday, January 22nd. As I was preparing this report last night, I realized that I should have written it and shared it with you right after the meeting. Some of the time, the information you get at those meetings is administrative and nothing that really people are going to be dying to hear instantly. It's just good to know eventually. But I probably should have mentioned that, distributed something and mentioned that the audio of the meetings is available on the website. And my apologies, I'll do that next time. There were three meetings that day. There was a safety and security meeting. There were more than three, but three open public meetings. Safety and security, the board meeting itself, and then the committee meeting for budget and finance, or budget finance and administration, I think is their name. In the safety and security meeting, I had suspected that the agenda would deviate from what had been published in advance, because those were fourth quarter safety and security reports, a year-end report, and they're important reports. But there were more immediate things that were on people's mind. And it's true that the agenda did deviate from that. Much of the meeting was around words. We had the acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board present at the meeting and spoke for quite a while. His name is Christopher Hart. He made several points that I think that many of you, all of you, will be interested in hearing. One is that the NTSB is, their report is the only official report of the January 12th incident. When that comes out, that will be the official report. Their investigation includes working not only with WMATA, but with other organizations that are connected to the incident. For WMATA, it's included things like physical inspections, looking at many hours of video from the stations, communications exchange, a 3,000-page document that has procedures and information about the physical environment. The whole mission of the NTSB, he was really clear, is prevention of issues. It's not liability, it's not blame, it's prevention. And that's why WMATA and other organizations involved are banned by law, by a federal law, from publicly discussing the incident. So the report, it will certainly have specific recommendations from WMATA and other organizations, but it also may be nationwide recommendations. There have been times when they've uncovered things that they share then with other similar organizations or somebody that uses the same sort of equipment. They did issue a preliminary report just 4 days after the incident about the basic facts, terms you've probably heard, arcing, smoke, you knew there was smoke. There is a link on the WMATA website to the NTSB site and that preliminary report. So if you'd like to read it, it's out there. The investigation, you may know, is very, very thorough. It takes a lot of time. But if any discovery is made during the investigation where urgent action is warranted, they'll make that recommendation immediately. Just the day before this board committee meeting, NTSB had a press conference and also met with both the city, Muriel Bowser's office, and with federal officials, I believe Congress. So that was his presentation, and there were several questions that followed. The couple that I think would be of most interest is that it's basically what I said. Tom Downs, the chair, clarified about the board, the staff, and the advisory bodies like the RAC that we can just make comments about before the incident, things they're doing since the incident, but not about the incident. And the chair from NTSB, Christopher Hart, said that incident comments can be biased, and you'll just see different versions of things. So it helps to have the involved parties not make public comments. There was also a question about whether there would be a public hearing. And what I heard at that time is that there probably will be, and it'll probably be in June, and it would definitely be open to the public to ask questions. So that's the safety meeting. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's the NTSB part of the safety meeting. Then Rob Troop, the Deputy General Manager for Operations, spoke. He walked through 10 safety actions that he had ordered to be done by WMATA, and they were detailed in a press release that was issued right during that meeting. That press release is also on the WMATA website so that you can see what those 10 things are. It ranges from standard operating procedures, drills, you know, evacuation drills, signage, several mechanical type issues. So that might be something you'd want to look at. A board member asked that there'd be a release of a less jargon-filled version.
which Congress had apparently also asked for. I don't know if that's something that's going to happen or not. I don't know if we know, but there was that request. So any questions for me about that particular safety meeting? Okay, I'll go on. There was the monthly board meeting of the monthly meeting of the board, which is usually attended by, I don't know, between 50 to 100 people, I would say. As always, the RAC gets a few minutes on the agenda to talk, and I did, and it's not necessarily what was in my monthly report, but it hit some highlights of that. And I mentioned that hopefully you will all agree that I spoke on our behalf, that we are ready and we are willing to participate in any follow-up actions that come out of any safety lessons learned. And the chair, the board chair, Tom Downs, also made it very clear to everyone present that he wants us there on when safety procedures are assembled, revised ones, and if there are evacuation drills, he wants us there to be a part of it. He also made it very clear that WMATA will correct whatever safety issues are found, and he said more than one time, several times, it's regardless of cost. Cost will not be an object. Safety corrections will be made. There were a couple of things unrelated to all that that Tom Downs' term as the chair has ended, and Mort Downey was elected chair, and he will be here to talk with us next month, we believe, and if schedules work out, right? And we'd hoped he'd be here tonight, but he's out of town doing some interview or whatever. Okay, who knows? Also, possibly the outgoing chair, Tom Downs, was something I heard, but I don't know if that's confirmed or not. So we'll have that to look forward to, and we can get updates at that time. Another thing that was noteworthy was that there were some outgoing members of the board, and one of them, Alvin Nichols. He was appointed by the Maryland Governor O'Malley, and he's been on the executive committee, and I'm sure it's a safe thing to say he's a very good friend of the RAC, very supportive of the RAC. But he's leaving because he's going to devote more time to his business and his family. So we will miss him. So that's the end of the board meeting description. The third thing was the finance administration meeting. There are some few things I learned from that are not completely obvious if you were to read the 20-page analysis, and then there's a 100-page other report, and there's a lot of paper out there, but I heard some things that really helped me understand better. I have already shared them with the RAC budget and finance team so they could use it when they met, but that WMATA right now has been exploring options that would balance the budget. They were not building recommendations yet as of this date last on the 22nd. As always, there are options that would reduce expenses and options that would hopefully increase revenue. And they ranged from reducing administrative costs like staffing, increasing bus, rail, or metro access fares. Again, these are options, not recommendations. These are options under consideration. Increasing the time between trains, eliminating some late night service, eliminating bus service where it's not used much, not eliminating an entire route, but maybe times or sections. Allocating funds differently, pension funds, capital funds. One thing that was suggested was looking at the power budget. There are significantly lower fuel costs right now, and is there some potential there to reduce costs? And also obtaining increased funds from the jurisdictions that provide the income for this organization. WMATA's Finance Committee is meeting again next week to finalize the docket that they're going to then present to the board at the board meeting toward the end of this month. That's a required docket for public hearings and outreach that would occur next month in March, and then into very early April. So they had asked that one of the reasons they were here at our last meeting, the finance people, was that they're hoping that they would get input before they have to make their proposal to the board, their proposal, finalize it next week. It's my understanding that the budget committee is prepared to do that. I'm not sure who's presenting that, but someone, I think, is. I'm not getting anybody to admit to it yet. But I've seen the committee's recommendation to show all of the rest of the rec. One thing when it comes to service and fare increases that came up at the committee meeting was that Lynn Bowersock said that her understanding from surveys that they have done in the past that customers would rather pay more, a little more, than see service cuts, that having to wait longer or have shorter hours are not something they really want. And that's something for us to consider as we hear about the proposals. There will be more opportunities to provide feedback once the options become the proposal and public outreach begins. We will certainly have another opportunity, and I would encourage all of you when those hearings begin that we are a part of them, as we have been in the past. You learn a lot, and you can contribute a lot. That's it. Any questions about the last portion or anything about what I said? Sorry to just have this be a monologue. Yes, Will.
I was curious about what you were saying as far as ridership. As far as we know, they were saying that instead of having their service cut, they would, you know, prefer increasing the rates. Where is the, I guess, the constituency that's being questioned and queried about that? Because I'm sure some people don't want their service cut, but, you know, being a major writer myself, I've never seen any survey or study or questionnaire asking that. So I'm curious, where do they pull it from?
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm sure Lynn could answer that question. I honestly don't know, but we could ask if it's something you want to know. Yes, okay.
It's Jeremiah. Question, the meeting next month with the WMATA board or budget committee, is that open to the public? And do you have a date time for that?
Yes, I thought it was on the second Thursday of the month, which would be the 12th. But James, it looked to me, the reason I was vague was on purpose, and you caught me. Because I think something you had said the 10th. No, that's the RAC meeting is the 10th. Okay, so it's the committee meeting is the 12th. Oh, thank you. Thanks for rescuing me.
No problem. On February 12th, during the regularly scheduled Finance and Administration Committee, we'll be taking public comment during that meeting.
Great.
We'll be posting the budget information on Monday, as we normally post board materials the Monday before. And public comment will be available during the 1 o'clock meeting, which will be held in the boardroom because it's better set up to accommodate public comment. So
that's good, because the one I attended was not, I think, set up for public comment, but
right.
This one will be.
Right, the Finance Administration Committee will be held next door, February 12th, 1 o'clock.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, because I toyed with the idea. I mean, I know most of us have day jobs, full-time jobs, and going to something in the middle of the day isn't something we can do. But if it's something you can do, I highly recommend it. The materials, as Jennifer said, are online on the website the Monday prior. It tells you what's going to be discussed. And even if you can't go, there's an audio version that you can listen to after the fact.
If I could just add one more thing, we also understand that not everyone can make a 1 o'clock meeting on a Thursday. So when the materials are posted on Monday, we'll actually include a link for public comment that you can submit. So you don't have to necessarily be there in person. And staff, I'm trying not to get the feedback. Staff will collect that public input and then have it summarized to brief the board on Thursday. So when the other people are available making public comment, we'll also be able to summarize the comments we've received all week. So the board also gets to hear that input as well.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Answers your question, right? There was another question over here somewhere, I think. Oh, thank you. You did it the right way. Yes, Ben German.
Can I point out, I use a PC, but every time I click an audio link on the RAP website, it never works. Same for the board meetings. Can someone double check, figure it out if it actually does work?
During the meeting or after the fact?
After fact. I've gone through the history of RAC meeting audio links, all posts on the website. None seem to work on a PC that I've used.
Have you heard that feedback at all before? Yeah, because I know that I have not used the audio, but I think our former chair, Carol, sometimes she wasn't present and she did listen to it. I didn't hear that, but I care a lot about that because I am actually going to be on an airplane that exact time, 6 o'clock flight out of the West Coast that day, so I can't listen to it live. So if any of you here too are able to get there and you want to come back and send a report of what you heard too, that would be helpful. But we're going to, I think people already give feedback. Sometimes people know to give John, sometimes John Pasek gets feedback at the time. But if we have an audio issue, should we let you know or who should we tell? Great. Thank you. Deborah.
About the February 12th, everyone can meet, is that a RAC or is it WMATA board budget meeting? Which meeting is that?
The 12th Thursday is the WMATA board finance committee meeting. The time, I don't know if this specific time is set yet. It's often in the afternoon, I think. It's 1 o'clock. Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. Yeah, especially the budget committee. I think that would be wonderful. Do we know yet if there's, I don't think safety is necessarily scheduled for that particular next week, but do you think they will be reporting? I know. You don't think there'd be some, I just thought maybe because of all the discussions. Sure. So it would probably be there, though, on Monday. It would say that if it were to happen. Okay. And we have Will.
This is going back to Benjamin's question. I have not tried that yet, but my question was, does the meeting come up in a separate player, or does it come up embedded inside the website?
There's a little audio button figure that right next to each meeting link,
yeah,
where you can, theoretically, you'd be able to see this on all of them with the notes, and then you would just be able to click the audio button. And if it works, then it should work. If it doesn't, I don't know.
Okay, no, the reason I asked was because I was wondering if you had to turn off, like, the pop-up, if it was a pop-up application. You could hold the control key down and that will override any pop-ups, but I don't know if it's going to do the same thing if it's already embedded inside of the website. So you can give it a try and see, but I'll look at it myself as well. Thanks.
Great. Okay. Anything else? Okay, let's move on then. The committees recap and regroup. We are going to do a breakout where we're going to go the three committees. There is a fourth governance committee. We had no one volunteer other than the leadership team is automatically on the governance committee. So I intend to just combine that with leadership meetings. So the three other committees, budget and finance, customer service, programs, the three Ps, will all be meeting separately. James, do you think the training room is still available for, during, as we do the breakout? It should be. Okay, so a customer wants to go back to where we were before the meeting, if you were there, and if you weren't there, follow us when we go. If you, the other two, I'm going to let you figure out who's going to sit where and here. But just as a, oh, before we do break, we have a couple things I want to talk about those committees. I believe the two of the committees have a nomination from their first meeting that was held last week, I believe. Customer services had a weather forecast that canceled ours, so we just met just before this meeting. But the budget and finance, do you have a nomination from that group? I think you do. You have a nomination for a chair that we need to approve as a whole RAC. So we're back to, will you be the spokesperson tonight for budget and finance? No, you are.
I was nominated to be the chairman.
No, that's fine. I think when I asked him first, you weren't here yet or something. Yeah. So you go right ahead.
I was nominated to be chairman, so I just need, is it a self-nomination or is it?
That's fine, yeah. Okay, you can be a volunteer or somebody else can, but I
a second, right?
You know, I honestly don't know about the committee chairs, if we need to have a formal, have somebody else nominate them. No, he can nominate himself. Is there a second? Second. Any other nominations? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Jeremiah Bush, Fairfax County.
Okay. All right. So that is the nomination that the committee had and is seeking our approval. So all those in favor of Jeremiah Bush as the chair of the Budget and Finance, RAC's Budget and Finance Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Okay, thank you. Let's do the same thing for the three P's. I believe, now this one I remember that it's Dan Turk, but you go right ahead.
I would like to nominate Dan Turk.
Good for you.
To be committee chair of the Program Projects and Planning Committee.
And is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any other nominations? Okay. All those in favor of Dan Turk to serve, that would be again this year as the 3P, triple P chair, committee chair, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. We, the customer service committee met briefly before this meeting, but we were missing a couple of people, and so we have, we're going to wait until at least we have a meeting as we break apart to come back with a nomination. Yes, to the same place we were. And before we do the breakout, logistical issue. The plan is that we will break out, but we will come back together, which does create some issues about the public nature of this and the recording, because there will be nothing coming through at that point until we come back. But One of the things I wanted to talk about other than the chair for the committees is that we had a few members that had not yet committed. So I don't know if it's well known which committee they're on. Well, that's what that was the other thing I was going to ask for. Yeah. Oh, even before they sign up? Oh, so I was going to say, for instance, that one of the committees has nobody from Virginia. That's yours, yeah, okay. So we want to talk about the same thing. Okay, so that probably should be our first. Let me say who the uncommitted members were as of earlier today. And in one case, I think Deb Christian, you had signed up, you said, for customer service, and somehow I missed that. Deborah Titus, do you have a committee that you want to participate with? Customer service. And then Deborah McKenzie. Do you have a choice on which committee you want to be on? From Virginia, the budget does. No, it's, I'm sorry, three piece. The program, projects, and planning. Maybe not in that order. Those three piece always confuse me. Is that okay with you? That was not yours. Okay, I'm okay. Okay. So let me ask this. There are the Virginia membership. I'm now talking specifically to you. If any of you who have already expressed an interest for either customer service or budget, but that you would equally like to work on the three P's, that you're willing to move to that because there is no Virginia representative, could you speak up if that's something you want to do?
You're able to, just a clarification, you can, if you're able to commit to the time, you can be on both committees, correct?
Yes, but we asked, at least in the past, the standard was we asked that you declare one to be your primary in case there was a conflict.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, so did Dan, you wanted to say something about
Barbara,
this?
Yeah, Barbara, maybe it would be, if it's possible, Marianne has a nice report here that would give people some idea of possible things that we'd be doing in the committee.
Okay.
And
that's probably what Marianne was trying to tell me. Thank you. So, Marianne, would you like to share?
Also, I have a question. Are we going to vote on the budget and finance committee proposal when?
I was going to ask you whether you wanted to do it before the breakout or after.
Okay.
You want to do it before? That's just fine.
In terms of the some quick notes from the organizing meeting for programs, projects, and planning, this group focuses on WMATA's special initiatives and new programs, particularly those related to new technology impacting riders and opportunities for collaboration to improve outcomes. This always sounds good for riders. We brainstorm, well, first off, we're trying to have meetings third Monday of the month, 6:30 here. So that's the time, about the only time the rest of the committee can meet. Topics that we have, four topics that we're thinking about have not prioritized. One is priority seating for disabled passengers on buses and probably on rail. This is something that came from the WMATA board, and we're asked to collaborate with the AAC on this. A second topic is, depending on what happens around what we learn on the safety protocol that WMATA has, is there any topic that might fit this committee to look at? And one example we had thought of was cell phone workability on Metro. A third possibility is coordination between WMATA and other transit agencies to maximize customer satisfaction and priorities while making economic trade-offs. What that is trying to say is we have WMATA and the three jurisdictions all with budget deficits, all trying to figure out how to do more with less. And choices that they make, if they make choices to cut something, a bus line here and a bus line here, are they at least doing things in a coordinated fashion that will minimize disruption to the passenger? That's three. And the fourth one is WMATA real-time apps for everyday riders and for visitors. So those are four things we identified to think about. No priorities, but that's sort of where we are now. And we have nobody from Virginia at this point.
Right. I can see that there are times where it's hard to know what the most fitting place is for some topics, because some of them, like the follow-up on safety issues, was something that we intended the customer service group would. And I think the customer has often works on communications, which, whether that's the same as the real-time app. I mean, real-time apps are communications, but not exactly. Yes, they are technology. I know, that's what I'm saying. It might be difficult. So I don't think we'll have fights over it, but we just have to figure it out. But you wanted to, your name tag isn't there, but that's okay. Okay, there it is. No wonder I can't read it. Go ahead, it's your turn.
Avani Gala from Virginia. I had initially expressed interest in the Budget and Finance and the Programs, Projects, and Planning Committee. I was unable to make the last meeting, but seeing as there's a need there for
Wonderful.
Virginia, I'm happy to make
Thank
that
you.
My priority.
Okay, you're it.
Oh, I forgot I'm the note taker. But I...
He's kidding. He'll find another one.
She can take notes for us.
Yeah, if you feel really...
Well, she's already demonstrated that she's an overachiever, so...
That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, now, before we break apart, I was going to ask, as you said, that if there's any question or comments or something that any of the committees wants to discuss as a full rack before we split apart and then later come back together. And Mary Ann would like to. I think you're the one that wants to do the presentation. Is that correct? Oh, that's the presentation. I thought you were... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm interested in dealing with what
See,
you would say,
I keep
the
getting,
budget.
I keep getting those two mixed up. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
It's okay.
So you are presenting for the budget, and do you want to do that before the break apart? The breakout.
I believe my colleague, I can't remember your name.
Fred.
Sorry. Right. Well, we suggested to do it before, so that's fine.
Fine. Okay.
So with the...
I'm not sure why we're getting feedback, but we are.
No, that one's off. Yeah, it's off. Just push it back. Sorry.
There we go. There's no chair yet. It was Catherine Corden, but she's not here tonight. She was the convener. Yeah, that was.
Jeremiah, before you start, I have a few copies of our meeting minutes from the Budget and Finance Committee. People will have to share, but I can pass them out if you'd like to.
Okay, and as Avani is passing that out, so essentially, well, I'll start off with kind of go out of order on what's the sheet here, but we identified essentially two priorities that the committee will focus on. Well, tentatively two, I would say. So the main priority obviously would be focusing on the FY16 WMATA budget. And we understand that that's a lengthy process in and of itself. So that obviously would be our primary priority working throughout the fiscal year and this current calendar year. And time permitting as well, we would also like to continue with the prior year's progress on the fare simplification proposals. And so those are basically essentially our 2015 objectives. In regards to the WMATA board's options for overcoming the budget deficit, we essentially agreed as a committee, and I'll go through the list of the eight or nine options that are on the table. And again, it's important to emphasize that these were all options that the WMATA place on the table, and none of them have been essentially recommended or decided on yet. So the first option being reducing the administrative cost, which could include staff reductions. The committee, after deliberation, we would support this option with certain provisions. The staff reduction should not directly affect ridership, such as reductions in administrative staff instead of rail bus drivers. So the primary focus would be no interruptions with operations and, of course, not jeopardizing safety or customer service. The second option, the increase in bus rail access fares, we do not support this option. However, with regards to the access fares, we would support whatever the Accessibility Advisory Committee determines regarding those fares. Increasing rail headway, which is the wait time, we don't support that option either. Reducing the, eliminating late night service. Again, we do not support this option. Fred brought up a good point. We just opened up the Silver Line a few months ago, and then we're already possibly looking at reducing service. It seems counterintuitive, and so we just can't support that option.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is that possible? When you talked about additional information, did you by chance use the information that had been put together in the packets that I referred the group to, or were you just using this list?
Well, more specific information regarding the actual details regarding what the in regards to which of the bullet or which of the points, which of the options?
Oh, the one that you said with additional information. Did you use the information that was in the handouts for budget? Because I think there was more. I'm not sure it's exactly what you're looking
for. Oh, regarding the eliminating the late night service.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that in there.
Okay.
If I either missed it or if there were specifics, but we wanted to basically look at what the data was regarding the ridership at certain stops and at certain hours of the day before we can decide whether or not that would be something that the RAC can support. Eliminating bus service where and when least used, not entire routes. Again, we do not support this option. However, with additional information about ridership on various bus routes, we may support service reductions. Allocating funds differently, we do support this option with provisions. However, with the understanding that like labor costs, because it is subject to a collective bargaining agreement, the flexibility in how those allocations could be adjusted may also be limited, so we wouldn't want additional details on how that can be done. Reducing the power budget due to low-cost fuel predictions, again, that's an option we clearly support. Obtaining increased funds from the jurisdictions, again, that's an option that we would support as well. But the WMATA should thoroughly discuss the possibility of that option and really push for that option. Additionally, some other options that we came up with as a committee maybe that the WMATA board should also consider is expediting the transfer of the additional bus lines to the respective regional carriers like ART, Fairfax Connector. That would help reduce capital maintenance, support, and salary costs for the applicable bus lines. Also, outsourcing certain functions such as maintenance, possibly. I mean, that was just an example that we used, but outsource functions where we review areas in which maintenance, construction, and other projects can be outsourced to third parties. Also, increase pre-tax contributions for SMART benefits. What would the effects be if riders were able to increase maximum pre-tax SMART trip contributions? So if the WMATA board again pushed and lobbied Congress to and an increased effort to be able to increase the subsidy on that, then that may help entice more people to contribute to the SMART benefits program and thus increase the revenue. And also increase incentives for tourists to ride the bus and rail. Are there any ways to increase tourist visitor ridership, such as marketing incentives to buy week passes, et cetera? And again, we recognize that there are already passes in the system that are available, but maybe better marketing and promotion of those options can really add to the revenue potential for WMATA. And those are essentially our outline of our recommendations regarding each of the proposed options from WMATA and what we would like the RAC committee to consider in full and whether to accept those those recommendations from us.
Okay, anyone interested in commenting, please go ahead and put your name card up. Wow, I've never seen this before. Deborah?
It sounds like Mr. Jemima has more various ideas that might help to reduce the financial debt that Deborah Madden might be faced. I think he has a various ideas that we never thought about it.
Okay. I have the same question I'd asked on the other one. I didn't interrupt you again. Was on the bus service with additional information. So you, there were a lot of details, whether it's the same stuff you're looking for or not, but you did that. This was just more based on the what you had the list in front of you, right, rather than digging through what was...
That's correct. I mean, we wanted to wait really till we,
sure,
you know, more of a high-level general stance on these until actual proposals right, and recommendations were made by the WMATA board.
I want to say I'm really impressed with what you were able to accomplish in a very short period of time. It's just very, very good. Thank you. Who's next? Fred.
So, it's okay. I'd like to ask a couple little things. So, the first is there's some of these are worse, way worse than others. Eliminating bus service. Well, if you think about who rides the bus, those are the people that least can afford alternatives. So even if there are less used routes, that's how people get around. And the majority, and bus riders tend to be less affluent. So, I mean, that to me is one of the very worst ones that's on here. And some of the other ones that are particularly bad also are the, if there's this general thing that if you have bad service, people remember. And if they stop coming, it's much harder to get them to come back than it is if you give them decent service so they don't leave. So a lot of these things will drive people away, and so they need to look very carefully at what they choose so we don't actually end up with way less riders and then way less money. So some of these are really bad on that. The eliminating late night service, longer headways, and a bunch of us who ride know the headways are already, especially in Virginia, really long already. So it's hard to imagine how much longer they could be.
Oh, Patrick, yes.
Just commenting from the AAC side on a couple things that were talked about right now. The AAC would agree with the RAC, particularly in the area of raising bus and rail fares, that they would oppose that because any fare that would increase would be doubled for Metro Access. So you have a situation where, you know, there'd be Metro Access riders would be feeling a double, sort of double increase. One of the suggestions that we were batting around was that if bus and rail were to be increased, that we might consider a surcharge, let's say, on Metro Access that could be enabled, let's say, or over a period of time and then dismissed when funding became available, or you'd put a surcharge on the bus, let's say, or rail, which would not then go to Metro Access because you wouldn't be messing around with the base fare. The other thing that we have also seen as far as changing the bus routes and changing, eliminating service or whatever, is that if you have a lot of people on Metro who could possibly use the fixed route and then are forced to use Metro Access, you're going to be increasing the cost basically for the service for those individuals. The cost for Metro Access service runs about $50, let's say, on an average ride. And so if you eliminate a bus route, you've got to see what impact that's going to be on disabled riders who might then have to transfer over to Metro Access. One of the things that we did agree and was presented to the board was that before they start eliminating or reducing bus routes, that they would look to see what that impact that would have on Metro Access riders, which I think is a good thing and would help to eliminate the need for reducing or eliminating bus routes just arbitrarily.
And Pablo.
Yeah, thank you. Fred, I'm very much in agreement with you. I think every time I hear they're going to change frequencies or eliminate routes, I really worry. I mean, some of the frequencies are awful, right? I mean, 20 minutes is you know, Amtrak, not matter. So any ideas like, you know, bringing some private money in, you know, anything from, I don't know, mobile service on the tunnels to concessions to anything that will, you know, bring additional funds. Something I'm seeing all over DC, it's, you know, it's crazy the number of new buildings you have, right? It's all over the place. And in some areas, I don't see any type of work done to alleviate traffic. So unless we have a better public transportation system, I don't know what's going to happen in some corridors. I'm thinking Rhode Island, New York Avenue, right? Areas that had a lot of recent development. So can we, I want to say put some pressure, but lobby the city to say, hey, I mean, we really need to improve this. And there's a lot of money being made there. And that is not, as far as I know, being reflected in the budget for Metro and Metrobus.
I'm only going to take, I'd say, the candidates that are still have their signs up now. I think we need to kind of close soon. A couple things I wanted to add. In the presentation from the WMATA budget, there was consideration to if we raise fares, we know that there'll be some impact on ridership and what the offset is. They didn't always look at it one directional. They looked at both sides. That was true for all of them. One idea came to me, Fred, from what you said. Right now we have a recommendation, yes or no, support it or don't support it. And you implied maybe there should be even a priority list saying these are the ones we support the least versus the ones we support the most, so that it's not just yes, no, it's this would be the worst from our point of view. It's just an idea for you to consider. Dan.
That was exactly what I was going to say. I would just add one thing. You know, all of these are not the same in terms of how much savings they would give. So weighting that a little bit with respect to bang for the buck is good. Like, you could choose one that's maybe less desirable, but it eliminates you having to do three others that are important. So looking at it with that optic, or having more interchange, maybe you can ask them some questions about, you know, what is it that, what could the possible savings be, you know, if you do this relative to this as well.
That data is available in the report.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in this report, but in the board report. Thank you. Yes. Oh, you're taken care of. Okay. Okay. This is it.
I just bring one other item to your attention. I think that the two things have happened very recently that may have not been factored into the WMATA's budget. First is the accident. I think there may be some drop off in ridership simply because some people have some safety concerns. But even more profound is the fact that gas is 50% cheaper than it was a couple month or two ago. And I suspect that some people will ride Metro when it's $4 a gallon, and they start driving when it's $2 a gallon. I think we should, my recommendation is to the chair is that we should perhaps find out from Metro how they react to these two things, whether they needed a sort of an addendum to the budget in terms of their projections.
Do you know, Jennifer or James, if that was part of it? I don't remember hearing about, I know that there's a very, very clear understanding of if the subsidy, the pre-tax changes, that changes a lot, because when it was reduced, we lost a lot of ridership because they went from being fully funded to partially funded. But I don't know about that. I would guess it's very true, but I just don't know if that's reflected in projections. Is that the loss in ridership expected because of the price of gas? I don't know. You'd think so, but I don't know. You don't, yeah, okay. That's a good, good question. I don't know the answer to that, but we can ask. Jeremiah, do you think you have the feedback that you're looking for to proceed?
I do. What I would, and we can talk about it when we break out, would be the prioritization or the ranking, if you will, with of the test. But I mean, I think some of them are pretty straightforward. If I understand, like, the board is, the committee is essentially against any option to eliminate service or to increase fares. Then we can go from there. They can.
I'm looking for input now as far as we could vote on whether to approve this in principle or rather and then allow the committee to do the prioritizing, or we could walk through it. I mean, I know one takes a lot longer than the other, but it may be the right thing to do. How do you, are you wanting to get us to prioritize it together?
No, we, I think we can do that in committee or in our breakout session. And
okay.
Then we can come back with
if when you break out, if you could then send a recap to the full RAC and we could try to give additional feedback by email and so that you could still get input. And then you and I, and we can work with James about how we get this input to the Finance Committee in before their meeting next week. Because we want to do that. We want to be sure to be there on that, to know that, for them to know that we did respond and do care, and this is how. Okay. So, would someone like to make a motion about, are you still trying to talk to me, or are you just, or is that still up here? No, I'm just checking. I didn't want to ignore you. would someone from the committee like to make an emotion, make a motion from the Finance Committee? It can be you, the chair, if you want.
A motion to approve the basic div options in principle with the provision that we will finalize it and send it out for final review before we present it to the full board.
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, now my Robert's rules is going to take over. Do I need to still ask for discussion now about that? Okay, discussion about the motion.
Barbara, what's the point of a preliminary approval? We're going to be approving what they come back to us with anyways, right?
I think it's a directional kind of thing, I think. I think if we take a vote and 80% of us hate it, I guess that's, you know, I think it's a directional thing. We may not be required to, but I'd feel more comfortable sending you off on your way with that kind
of. I just want to make sure, are we on point here, or are we completely off basis with the rest of the RAC, essentially,
right.
Is what we're looking for.
Yeah. Other discussion of the motion?
Could you just clarify how this is going to get from here to the board without another
Well, first of all, the first question, I am not totally sure. I mean, we promised feedback specifically to the Finance Committee, the gentlemen that were here last month. So it isn't necessary. Is it, would that necessarily go to the board, too, as well as them? Oh, it is. Well, I meant the finance people that were here, the staff people. There was staff that was here. No, the staff are the ones that asked us. I guess will you help us understand what the right next steps are? Okay, we could do it to both. Okay. Does that answer your? Is that
okay? No.
No.
Didn't answer my question. My question is, so we're going to have a vote and we're going to get direction. And then we're going to go have a meeting and we're going to do something, maybe. And then we're going to have a document that we circle around by email. and then somehow that document is going to find its way someplace outside the RAC without the RAC voting.
Well, I was trying to say we would vote by email.
So can the RAC do that? Does it, in our bylaws, are we allowed to vote by email?
Your bylaws don't state anything about voting by email.
So are there any public meeting rules that we violate by doing that?
I don't know. I thought we had done that before, but I'm not positive. So
I would say, in my professional opinion, that's not common.
Okay.
Barbara, when do they need to pass this stuff on to them by? Just this week, so it's very time.
Well, right. Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Well, then I think.
So we need to come back and vote at 8:15.
Okay. Well, and that was one of my ideas, that we would come back afterwards, because I thought there would be some work. Okay. That's half an hour. Okay. So
at this point, I'll table the motion until fine. After the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Unless there is more discussion to be done before we split apart into the three committees, we are now set to go. Thank you. So see you here at 8:15. Are we? Okay. We're going to reconvene as a whole. Are people missing from the room or just spread? Oh yeah, she's gone. Okay. Okay. Let's hear from the Budget Committee.
All right. So we do have a proposal for as far as ranking the options. So those of you who have the handout, if you look at the options, some of the options kind of repeat itself from the first page. So what we did basically for the eight main options that were presented by the WMATA board, we ranked from most favorable to least favorable in order of 1 to 8. The most favorable option that we decided on was obtaining increased funds from the jurisdiction. The next most favorable will be allocating funds differently. Third would be reducing the power budget due to lower fuel cost predictions. Four was reducing administrative costs, which could include staff reductions. Five would be increasing bus, rail access, and we also added parking to that. That was left off fares. And it could be and or, so either bus and rail and access and parking. But again, for access, we would defer to AAC and support whatever determination they would make. Number six would be eliminating late night service. The next least favorable option would be increasing the rail headways. And number eight, which is the least favorable option for us, would be eliminating bus service, where and when least used. We would also present the additional proposals, the additional options that are listed below, as well as some of the ones that were discussed today. However, they would be presented as options in no specific order of most at least, as they were all options that were presented by REC committee members.
Would someone like to, would you like to, whatever it is by Robert's Rules of Order you do about your untabling your motion?
Yeah, so I move to present that ranking with those options to a vote for the REC to present to the WMATA board.
Is there a second? Oh, go ahead. Did you?
I was going to say, in addition to the other options, again, in no preferred order.
Is there a second? Dan seconded. Discussion. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan.
You guys should meet for just 20 minutes all the time. Good work. I would just, I think the order is fine. I would just ask you to pay, you know, close attention to your comments and provisions with the ranking, especially with the things, you know, especially like with the fare increase or the service decreases. You know, maybe you can say something like, we're assuming the fare increase is, you know, within a certain range or something like that, or, you know, just kind of what your understanding of what that means, and then a little more thought and guidance, I think, would be good. But I think this is excellent.
The only addition that I would make, if we had to do an increase on bus and rail, what the AAC is looking at, hasn't come to an agreement with, totally, would be that it wouldn't be set up as a fare increase, be set up as a surcharge, because if you put money on the base fare for bus and rail, you're doubling Metro Access. It's just the way the calculation's made. If it's a surcharge on bus and rail, that doesn't double the Metro Access. So how you phrase it is important. And I'm not quite sure I understand how and why this happens, but I do know that within certain rail stations, there is increased there is a surcharge already in effect in some rail stations for increased fares because of construction going on, blah, blah, blah. I'm not quite sure of all my facts, but I know that's already that already happens in some areas. So rather than an increase in bus and rail, which I know we don't want, if there is an increase, AAC is going to try to advocate for this, a surcharge rather than increase because of metro access.
Yeah, I can, without objection, I can amend that language to say we oppose an increase in the fare, but as the fifth option or a we would consider a surcharge in it, to the fare within a specified or certain range. Is that my understanding?
It'd be, yeah.
Okay.
A point of clarification. I know you made a motion that we accept the rankings. I don't know the comments. I would like some opportunity to help tweak the comments, but I don't know if that was part of what your motion included or not.
Absolutely. I think the motion would be just to accept the rankings as is, and then we can receive input and tweak the comments based on those rankings, but the rankings would essentially be what we're voting on.
Fred, go around this way.
So I think one of the things we spent a lot of, so we only spent a few minutes doing the rankings because we thought about other ways. And we would, I think we wanted to emphasize in these other options that Metro needs to think, I hate the term, but out of the box about how to get more revenue. So we did add four here. There's a fifth we stole from Pablo, the public-private partnerships, which we thought was a really good idea. And we also talked about, you know, maybe it's time for Metro to do an excess asset sale. It owns a lot of assets that are not core to its business. It maybe needs to sell them.
I was personally curious about if you can reduce the power budget without impacting service and whatever, why that wouldn't be higher.
I think that consensus is that that's something that's already going to be done anyway, right? Like if you're reaping a savings already, then that's going to be there. So I mean, as far as to sit there and say, reducing the power budget. I mean, it's kind of one of the, I guess it's to me it's instinctful to sit there and say, okay, well, if the budget's already reduced, then there's no need to say we're going to reduce it, right? Or if the actual cost, I guess, was our thinking.
I see what you're saying. I think the budget was built based on the fact, on the assumption that the prices would go back to high. And it's a debate, so it's okay. I get what you're saying.
Do we have any idea? I've heard different numbers floated out there as to what the shortfalls that we're trying to
That's definitely in the presentation. Depending on what we're trying to hit, it's anywhere from very roughly, like in the $40, $50 million range to closer to $100. It's a lot. And each one of these is contribution to that, is spelled out what it could be. Bob.
Just a point of clarification. When you use the term surcharge, does that imply it's a we would accept a temporary increase in fares?
It can. That's kind of the way we look at it. You have the ability to roll the fares back, yes. So the surcharge could have an end date, potential end date.
Yeah, I just would insert the word temporary. So they know exactly. You know, temporary or a
one-year surcharge
or something that has a date certain when it ends.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Any other, Dan, and let's, then maybe I can persuade someone to call for a vote.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I think that, Patrick, I think that the challenge is with Metro Access in terms of the fact that, you know, the calculation is just very unfair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is something that, you know, it'd be nice if we can more actively and more directly support that, because the way that it is structured, it really is disproportionately unfair. I understand what you're trying to say with the surcharge. I personally don't think it's really a feasible option, but I guess we can investigate it. I would like more for the RAC to say, listen, this is the way you calculate. This is just so unfair.
Right. So you have that, and the way the law is written, it says up to 2 times the bus and rail fare. So the other thing that we have proposed in the past is to change the multiplier. So rather than doing twice bus rail, you do 1.75 or 1.5. We tried that a couple of years ago when in the last budget, I guess it was last year maybe, last budget cycle, and that option was not accepted by the board, but it is our plan B.
So we could say also something like, if the fares do increase, we would only support them if the multiplier is adjusted in such a way that the Metro Access fare does not change.
Or it could be more generic, just saying that Metro Access adjusted in such a way, whether it's a surcharge,
whatever it is, that Metro Access does not change.
Okay.
Good. Okay. That would be perfect. Yeah. And that fits in exact with our plan A and plan B. Thanks.
Go ahead. Point of order.
Okay. Just a point of order. I think we're starting to get into the details of the comments and the provisions, which the way the discussion started to go may start changing around some of the structure on what people want to do with the ranking, and, you know, something is not as bad as it used to be or sounds a lot better than it was. In some ways, I think we're kind of meandering from the actual vote, which is, do we like the ranking that Jeremiah put out to everyone? And I'm just worried we're kind of getting a little pedantic on, yeah.
Calling for the, okay, Dom, somebody that knows Robert's rules better than me. Does that mean we can now vote?
We have a second.
Oh, call for the question. So you're calling for, okay, and then is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, Bonnie. And all in favor of closing discussion for a vote, is that correct? Did I say that right? Okay, all in favor of closing the discussion so that we can vote? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Okay, so we will go to the vote. Would you restate your motion as you did?
I'm sorry. What did I do with it?
Oh, not the specifics.
Oh, I motion to vote on the rankings as previously read into. I motion to vote on the rankings that we previously read out. In that order, specifically on these proposed options for OMATA, in addition to the additional putting forth additional options that were recommended by the REC members.
So, all in favor of the motion to accept as a full REC the proposed option ranking and other additions. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstaining? Thank you. Unless someone has an announcement that they'd like to make that we have not already. Oh, yes. Jennifer mentioned to me out in the hallway that there is a date now for the NTSB hearing, if those of you want to put it on your calendar early so you don't miss it. June 23rd. Is it 2 days or is it just one of those 2 days? 2 days, June 23rd and 24th. I don't know the timing, if it's daytime or nighttime or whatever, but hearings to the public are often night.
Wait,
no, no,
Save the date. It's here. It's here. I think it's going to be in the boardroom. Oh, yeah. There'll definitely be more information. This is just the early announcement. Yes. But you'll get that another way, too. So I didn't ask if any other committees wanted to report. If there's any other announcements? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you very much for dealing with the newbie, namely me.